Who put Jesus on the cross? Do you ever wish that you had a time machine so that you could go back in time and put something right that went horribly wrong in the past? If we could travel back to the time of Jesus, what would we see? Who are the people we would see who put Jesus on the cross? Sometimes when I think of this great injustice, indeed it was the greatest injustice in the history of the world, I would like to go back in time and set things right. If I could just get my hands on the enemies of Jesus Christ and stop what they did. Tonight I want to look at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and find out who put Jesus on the cross. As we search through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find our first culprit, the first enemy of the Lord, and one of the men who put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His name is Judas. By most appearances, Judas did not seem to be an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, one of those select few who devoted their entire lives to following after the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you scratch at the surface of the life of Judas, you realize that things are not as they appear on the outside. You see, Judas was a man who followed Jesus with the wrong motives for the wrong reasons. The Bible tells us that Judas was an exceedingly greedy man. And as the money holder for Jesus, he hoped that he would become rich and powerful when Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, overthrew the oppressive Roman government which they were under. But when it became increasingly clear that Jesus had other plans that included not fame and riches, but death and suffering, Judas became an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think, Judas, as disillusioned as he was with Jesus, he could have just walked away from Jesus. Many others had walked away from the Lord. But he was a greedy man, and he thought he could maybe make a few dollars off of the Lord Jesus. So we read in Matthew 26, 14 through 14 and following, that Judas went to the chief priests, the religious rulers who were enemies of Jesus, and he asked, "How much money are you willing to give me to deliver Jesus to you?" This was appealing to the chief priests. They had already made a plan to secretly capture Jesus. They were afraid that the crowds of his followers would cause a riot if they captured him in public. And so they planned to capture him secretly and to kill him. Judas would give them a perfect opportunity to lay their hands on Jesus. And for this, they would give him 30 pieces of silver. That's something like $10,000 in today's money. And that seems like a lot of money. At least it is to me. But Judas did not hear Jesus when he asked, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Judas didn't even get the whole world for his soul. He just got a few silver coins. We read that Judas, after he spoke to the chief priests, returned to Jesus and to the other disciples to dine with them for the Passover feast. We know this meal that they dined at as the Last Supper, or the institution of the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate today in communion. And this is where Jesus declared, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And drink, all of you, even Judas. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." All the while, at this most precious moment of intimacy with Jesus, at this dinner, Judas was looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew the heart of Judas. Jesus knows the secrets and intentions of all people. There is nothing hidden from his eyes. After dinner, Jesus took his disciples to a garden the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. All of his disciples came, except for Judas. Judas had found his opportunity to betray Jesus. Jesus was like a sitting duck as he prayed in that garden. And so Judas, despicable Judas, he gathered the enemies of the Lord Jesus and surrounded him. And Judas went up to Jesus to give him a kiss. A kiss. A kiss was a sign of peace, an acceptance, an affection. But this kiss, the kiss of Judas, this was a declaration of war. It was a kiss of rejection. It was a kiss of hatred. Could it be said more forcefully of anyone in the history of the world? You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Judas could go away happy with his silver coins. He had done his deed. He had betrayed Jesus. But he did not. He could not. Matthew 27 tells us that when he found that Jesus had been condemned to death, he felt remorse, and he tried to return the money. But it was too late. The deed was done. The money was now useless. It had been used to betray an innocent man. And indeed, it was Judas. Judas who put Jesus on the cross. But as we continue to read in this, the Gospels, we find that there are others who put Jesus on the cross. When Jesus was captured at the Garden of Gethsemane, he was taken to Caiaphas, the high priest. The high priest was the religious leader of the Jews. He was sort of like the Pope for the Catholics, or like a Billy Graham or a John Piper. He was the man everyone looked up to for guidance. And what was his guidance? It was to put Jesus to death. The religious leaders called on witness after witness who falsely accused Jesus, until finally someone came up with something close to what Jesus said. And when Jesus lit on that he was indeed the Messiah, the Christ, Caiaphas tore his robe and he cried out, "He has blasphemed," which means he had claimed something like to be God. And then Caiaphas asked the people what they thought, the people who were gathered, and they cried out eagerly, "He deserves death." Death for what? Death for telling the truth about his identity. But they would not have the truth. So they took Jesus and they bound him and they blindfolded him. And they began to spit in his face to humiliate him and to disgust him. And they punched him and others began to slap him and they started to mock him, calling out to the blindfolded Messiah, "If you are truly a prophet, tell us who it was who hit you." Jesus did not say anything, but he knew. He knew who it was who hit him. It was his enemies, and he knew their very names. It was these religious leaders, these rulers who put Jesus on the cross. Oh, but as we read, there are more people who put Jesus on the cross. The religious leaders had no power in themselves to put Jesus to death. So they sent him to Pilate, the Roman governor, who did have the power to put Jesus to death. As Pilate questioned Jesus, Jesus sat silently as charges were made against him. And Pilate was impressed. In fact, he was so impressed that he knew in his very inner being that Jesus was innocent. But for Pilate, it did not matter. He was indifferent to Jesus. Jesus was a problem for other people, not for him. And when Jesus said that he had come to testify to the truth, Pilate replied, "What is truth?" Little did Pilate know, or nor did he care to know, that the very truth stood in front of him. For Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. So Pilate put the problem back to the people, the crowds that had gathered to see the spectacle. He gave them an option. He would either release Barabbas, a man who had committed murder, or he would release Jesus, a man who was completely innocent. Indeed, Pilate declared, "I find no fault in this man, Jesus." But the crowd made its choice. They wanted Barabbas, the murderer, freed. Pilate then asked, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And the crowd cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" as they shouted. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, but he was either a coward or he did not really care about Jesus, or both. So Pilate handed over Jesus to be crucified. It was Pilate who put Jesus on the cross. And it was that crowd who cried out, crucify him, who put Jesus on the cross. But there are more who put Jesus on the cross. Roman soldiers took Jesus away and they scourged him. That is, they whipped him mercilessly. Roman whipping was called by one author of the day, the horrible whip. And horrible it was. The whips had three pieces of leather that had interwoven between them bone and bits of metal on the ends, so that when Jesus was hit with the whip on his back, it dug deeply into his flesh. And as they tore the whip away, his flesh would tear off. The person who administered the whipping, who took the whip and put it onto his back, he would decide when to quit. We don't know how many times Jesus got whipped. And the hope was that this would be sometime before the victim died, but many times a victim would die during this whipping. The scourging of Jesus would continue until his flesh hung down in bloody shreds. But the soldiers were not done. They mocked him by putting a fake royal robe on him, and they twisted together a crown made of thorns which dug into his head. And they gave him a fake scepter, and they cried out mockingly, "Hail, King of the Jews!" These men, these soldiers, these are the ones who put Jesus on the cross. So they took his bloodied and tired and seemingly humiliated Jesus to be put on the cross to die. We aren't told the names of the people, the soldiers, the soldier who nailed Jesus on the cross. Perhaps there were more than one soldier. Perhaps some held Jesus, while others nailed these long 6-inch spikes into his wrists and through his feet. Can you imagine the agony of pain of having nails pierced into your arms and into your feet? These soldiers pounded the spikes through Jesus. It was them who put Jesus on the cross. Crucifixion was an excruciatingly painful way to die. It was death by long, painful suffocation, which lasted sometimes for hours and even days. Jesus hanged on this cross for hours, gasping for breath as he pushed himself up, trying to catch a breath. And then he would fall back down and he couldn't breathe. And he would rest on his feet again. He would slowly suffocate to death. But still there were others who were watching, who were mocking him, even as he suffered this great pain and death, shouting, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." And even the two criminals who hanged beside Jesus mocked him. And one of them, the scriptures tell us, repented and believed in the Lord. These are the people who put Jesus on the cross. And finally, as Jesus' body was on the cross and could take no more, he cried out, hanging from the cross, "It is finished." And Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, died. The Gospels tell us that as he died, that the earth shook. People were raised from the dead. The sun was darkened, and the veil which separated humanity from the presence and intimacy of God was torn in two. These men, these soldiers, had put Jesus to death. These are the men who put Jesus on the cross. But even if we were able to go back in time and try to put these things right, we would need an army to fight against these whose hands put the Lord Jesus on the cross. From Judas to Caiaphas and the religious leaders, from Pilate and his soldiers to the crowds which cried out, "Crucify him," to the soldiers who nailed Jesus on the cross and speared him on the side just to make sure he was dead. It's an army of men, these enemies of Jesus, who put Jesus on the cross. But that isn't the end of the story. Scripture tells us of more people who put Jesus on the cross. Isaiah 53:5 reads, "He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." As much as I would like to get my hands on Judas and Caiaphas and Pilate and the crowds and the soldiers who put Jesus on the cross, it misses the reality and the point. It was you, it was me, who put Jesus on the cross. Jesus was put on the cross because of your sin and because of my sin. Indeed, it is in your sin that you handed Jesus over to be killed on the cross. It was in your sin that you even cried out, "He deserves death." It was in your sin, in your sin of indifference to the truth, that you put an innocent man to die. It was in your sin that you cried out those horrible words, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It was your sin that tore flesh off the Lord, and it was in your sin that you held the hammer that plunged the spikes through the Lord Jesus' hands and his feet. Indeed, it was you who put the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. It was you in your sin, in your disobedience to God, in your vileness, your drunkenness, your theft, your sexual immorality, your lust, your lies, your pride. It was you. You put Jesus on the cross. But that's still not quite the end of the story. There is another who put Jesus on the cross. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, that God the Father did not spare his own Son, but he delivered him over for us all. Indeed, John 3:16 tells us that this is the grand scheme of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It was the Father's plan to send his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to the cross in order to pay for your sins and my sins if we would just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Father sent the Son to pay the penalty of your sin for all of us. All of us, all of you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus, he was not reluctant to fulfill this plan. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus, although he existed in the very form of God, even though he was God himself, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. But why? Why would Jesus go to die on the cross? He had thousands of angels at his disposal. He didn't need me to go back in a time machine to save him. He could have saved himself or had thousands of angels take him off the cross. He did not need to die such a death. Jesus went to the cross in order to get his hands on his enemies. Not those hands like mine which seek to hurt or to choke or to even murder enemies, but those nail-pierced hands, the hands which gush forth blood, precious cleansing blood to wash away sins. Jesus went to the cross in order to get his hands on you. For while we were yet sinners, while we were still enemies, we read in Romans chapter 5, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross so that we could be reconciled into his loving arms. So who put Jesus on the cross? It wasn't just Judas and Caiaphas and Pilate, but you and I put Jesus on the cross. And it wasn't an accident. It was God's plan to reconcile sinners like you and me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, as Isaiah 53 goes on to say, he was pierced through for our transgressions, for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment which brought us peace was upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. And as the hymn goes, wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Amen.